Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
I'm so excited. We'll be talking about a number of things this morning, and I really want your heart to open, because God is calling each one of us to become His servants. I want you to start seeing yourself as a servant of God. Say with me, I am God's servant. Please say it again. You are God's servant. You are not just somebody that is moving around. It's that you didn't know. That's why you were doing the things you were doing. Now you are learning who you are. And as you are discovering who you are, and as you are aligning yourself with who you actually are, you will see a total difference in your life. You are God's servant. And wherever God needs a man or a woman, He should find you ready. He should find you ready. You know, I got to watch a documentary during the week. That documentary broke my heart so much. Sometimes you have no clue how blessed you are until you get to see what other humans are going through. I tell you, I watched a documentary of some people in Congo. Oh, brothers, the suffering that people are going through is beyond imagination. I can't explain to you what I saw. It was just too terrible. Too terrible. I was angry at the same time about our leaders. I was angry at the devil. I was just so angry. But I want to tell you something. In the midst of all of that, I also became so grateful and so thankful. I don't know why I'm not the one in the condition of some of those. Like, I couldn't understand. There are black people just like me. I couldn't understand why I am where I am and they are where they are. And as I was pondering on it more and more, it just dawned to me that some of them, unless God has mercy, they might never hear the gospel. Because of how deep they are in the forest. Because of how impossible it is to reach them. They might never hear the gospel. And even if they hear the gospel, what kind of gospel are they going to hear? What level of light will they receive? And how strong will that light be to move them from where they are? It was just so difficult to understand. And as I was pondering on that, the Holy Ghost said, that's why you will be judged more severely, He told me. I said, what? He said, I'm saying to you, that's why you will be judged more severely. Because I've exposed you to light. I've exposed you to the gospel. I've exposed you to so many things that you can see yourself I did not expose others to. But you have taken everything I exposed you to and you put it in the pocket. I just wonder what could have happened if I had exposed them to what I exposed you to. Maybe they could have served me better. So then I realized that the life that I have comes with a responsibility. The knowledge that I have comes with a responsibility. The blessings that I have come with a responsibility. I'm not supposed to just enjoy them, because there are billions of people out there that don't have access to those things. What about those people? I saw my responsibility. Because I have received this, I am obliged to share with as many as I can. Not just enjoy for myself. Not just enjoy for myself. It became even clearer to me why we must preach the gospel. Why we must become servants of God. I tell you, People are suffering at that. You have no idea. People are like the level of suffering. I can't even explain it to you. I'm telling you, like it's so painful. It's so painful. It's so painful. It's so painful. I tell you, it's so painful. You think your life is hard? You don't know hard. You have no clue what is hard. I'm telling you. You have no clue. I don't know even why God led me to watch such a thing. It was very difficult. And I'm seeing, as grateful as we are, that God has had mercy on us, we must also know He has placed a responsibility on us. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk to you this morning, and I pray that you open your heart. That you open your heart, that we open our hearts. You are God's servant. You are God's hope. You are God's hand. You are God's mouth. You are God's ears to somebody out there. Don't be so self-absorbed. That's what we spoke about last week. That God will really touch your heart. That you break beyond yourself. No matter how hard your life is, someone else's life is harder than yours. More painful than yours. And some of them don't even know Jesus. A lot of them don't know Jesus at all. It's terrible. It's terrible. Our leaders in this continent have failed us. Like dismally. Dismally. You have no idea. You have no idea. Praise the Lord. But the word of the Lord is going to give you direction this morning. I said the word of the Lord is going to give you guidance this morning. The word of God is going to give you hope this morning. In the name of Jesus. Come with me quickly to the book of Esther chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 1. Amen. The Bible says, that night, the king could not sleep. So he ordered the book of the Chronicles to be brought in and read to him. Hallelujah. It was found recorded there that Mordecai, please remember that name, Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway and who had conspired to assassinate King Zegzeg. Bigthana and Teresh were working in the palace, but they conspired to kill the king. And before they could carry out their evil plans, a man called Mordecai uncovered their evil plan. And he did not just uncover it, he exposed it. He made it known that this is the evil these two people were trying to do to the king. Are you here? Verse 3. What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? The king asked. After they read, he said the king couldn't sleep at night. So he asked them to bring the records of everything that is happening in his palace. So they started reading everything. And as they were reading, they came across this session where it is said that a man by the name of Mordecai exposed a plot to kill the king. So now the king asks the attendants, what was done for Mordecai after he exposed this thing? Are you following with me? Nothing has been done for him, his attendants answered. Nothing has been done for him. Praise the Lord. A lot of lessons are hidden in this little passage of scripture we have already read. The first lesson is that a true servant does not withhold critical information. I repeat, a true servant of God, a committed believer in a local church, a true assistant to the shepherd, to the cell leader, or to the pastor, does not withhold critical information. You cannot be aware of something that is threatening the good of the church, the good of your pastor, the good of a marriage, the good of your fellow brother, and you remain quiet. Mordecai just needed to say, that's not my problem. I'm not the king. I'm not related to this man. I have nothing to do with this. If they win, they win. If they lose, they lose. It's their problem. He could have just excused himself and continued as if he didn't see anything. But a man of integrity, a true leader, does not withhold critical information. So Mordecai exposed these people. And after Mordecai exposed them, they were arrested and they were killed. Yet, nothing was done for Mordecai. Hallelujah. That's the first thing I want you to be aware. And we're going to talk about the reward of Mordecai just now. That you're going to see that there is no way you can do something good and nothing is done for you in return. Even if nothing has been done yet, it doesn't mean nothing will be done ultimately. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Praise the name of Jesus. Now withhold, lesson number two. I'm just giving you some head up quickly. Second lesson, withholding critical information welds your faith to that of the offender. I want to repeat myself. When you withhold the critical information, you have welded your faith. Do you know what it means to weld? Like you take a piece of iron and you bring to another piece of iron and you weld the two together. When you refuse to release the critical information, you have welded your faith to the faith of the offender. In other words, anything that will happen to this person will happen to you too. Because by not exposing him, you have tied yourself to him. I feel like preaching right here, I tell you. I feel like preaching right here. Praise the name of Jesus. By not exposing things, you are welding your faith to the faith of the destroyer. Just think about a welder that was busy with this piece of iron, and another piece of iron was there, not minding anything. But before he realized, he took that piece of iron, he brought it closer, and then he started welding the two. And after he removed the welding machine, the two pieces of iron are now welded together. Wherever this piece is going, this one is following. That's the danger of knowing things and keeping them. You have become an accomplice. You have become a partner in crime. You have joined the offender. Your only deliverance is to expose whatever is going on. That's how you unweld yourself. That's how you dissociate yourself. By exposing it, you are saying, I'm not a part of this. By exposing it, by making people know about it, you are saying, I am not connected to this. There's a very good example in the Bible. That's not my message, but I think there's a lot of things to learn. Acts chapter 5 from verse 7, the Bible says, about 3 hours later, his wife came in. We are talking here about Ananias and Sapphira. A married couple that went, to give you a bit of background, they went and sold the land and they got an amount of money. They got 10,000 rand for this land that they sold. 10,000 rand. After they got 10,000 rand, Ananias told his wife, listen, we cannot go and give this whole 10,000 rand. Let's go and tell Pastor Pascal that. Pastor Peter. Their pastor was Peter. Let me not involve myself in this. Their pastor was Pastor Peter. I said, let's go and tell Pastor Peter that we sold the land for 5,000 rand. Do you understand? This idea came from Ananias. And then the wife says, no, let's do it. What did she do? She welded her faith to the faith of Ananias. Now, Ananias went to church before her. When he arrived, he placed the money before Peter. Peter asked him, is this all the money that you got? He said, no, this is all the money. Peter says, you have lied, though. You have lied. It's over with you. He dropped dead. Immediately, they carried him and went and buried him. Three, now we are picking the story. About 3 hours later, his wife came in. Are you here? Not knowing what had happened to her husband, Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? God gave her an opportunity to unweld herself. Can I tell you, God will give you many opportunities to speak. God will give you, God will make things to go in a way where you can say what you know. God will make things go in a certain way that you can send an SMS to say, you know what, there's this thing going on. God gave her her opportunity to unweld herself. But listen to her answer. Yes, she said. That is the price. So now if she was welded at 50 degrees, she now got welded at 85 to 90 degrees. Where you are even adding your own lies to the lies. This is a very important message, especially husbands and wives. Where you collide to lie. Beloveds, you collide to lie. And I'm talking to you guys. Because you are connected to this person, you think you have a moral responsibility to flow with the person. Even when the person is going the wrong way, you are welding your destiny to the destiny of this person. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. This is the verse that shows you that life is not about going to the gym. Truly, truly, the power of life and death is in the tongue. This is the verse. Many people have died without knowing they died. You went to the presence of somebody, he said something, and that day you actually died. That day your business died. That day your ministry died. That day something died. It died instantly. Lies. Nothing brings you closer to death than lies. Nothing. This is a woman. They probably had children. Their whole family is being demolished because of a conspiration between a husband and a wife, between two friends, between brother and sister in the church. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young man came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Same fate. Same fate. They conspired together. They ended up in the same place. Please learn your lesson this morning, that you will not end up where the offender has ended simply because you couldn't reveal what was wrong. You know how many people who can't speak in tongues anymore today? They can't even explain to you why they can't. They've lost their spiritual fervency. Because you welded your destiny. You were aware of something and you didn't expose it. You heard people speak in a certain way and you didn't expose it. You saw something going in a way that is not right. The shepherd said we should do it this way. As soon as the shepherd turned his back, we did something else. Hello. But you didn't expose it. You have welded your destiny. And this is why the story of Mordecai is so profound about being a true servant of God. Is that you are not here for personal favors. You are here for the interest of the kingdom. And I feel that the people of old were more in line with this type of things compared to the generation of today. Back then, when you are given a job, you value your job. You value the role that you have been given. When a person was an advisor of the king, he took his job very seriously. And he will defend that position. Not the corruption that we have today. Somebody will trust you, will elevate you, will give you a position of leadership, and you'll become aware of things that are detrimental to the person that God has used to elevate you, and you will hide those things from him. You sit quietly in the church and see people lying around the person. People that were laughing at him just now, they are now pretending to be nice with him, and you will do nothing about it. You have conspired, you have joined, and you have welded your destiny to the destiny of these people. May God deliver us this morning from these conspiracies that are happening in the house of God. And people are there, they see those things and they are not exposing them. Their husband knows that his wife doesn't pay tithe, and they are lying about it. The wife knows that their husband doesn't pay, and they are lying about it. Money. Let's come back to our story. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Let's go to verse 4. The king said, remember, the king asked, what was done for Mordecai after Mordecai exposed Bigthana and Teresh? And the attendants said, nothing was done for him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now verse 4, the king said, who is in the court? Meaning the king was in his private area, but he asked, is there somebody in the court? Now, Haman, say with me, Haman. That's the next name I want you to remember. Mordecai, now Haman. Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about impaling Mordecai. My God. You know what it means to impale somebody? Impaling somebody means you take a stick, you sharpen it at the top like a pencil. You know a pencil? When you sharpen a pencil, it becomes straight at the top. You go to the anus of the person. You push the thing inside the anus of the person. I'm sorry to use these words. Then you purge the person. You know, back at this time, they didn't have crucifixion. They have impalement. Crucifixion came with the Romans. The Romans decided they will not impale people in the anus, because when they are impaling you, even the poo-poo can come out, and then they spill on the soldiers. So now they decided that they will just crucify the people. But at this time, they were impaling. They put the thing in the anus and they push it inside. So, as the king is asking, what good thing has been done for Mordecai? Haman comes in. And Haman is coming, the Bible said, to speak to the king about the possibility of impaling Mordecai. He is coming with something that they must kill this guy. Impaling Mordecai on the pole he had set up for him. So he already prepared the pole. He sharpened the top of the pole that he's just coming to get permission from the king so he can go and push the thing in the anus of Mordecai. Look, every evil plan against your life is coming to an end in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you blessed by this? Verse 5. His attendant answered, Haman is standing in the court. Bring him in, the king ordered. When Haman entered, the king asked him, what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? What should be done? Now, Haman thought to himself, who is there that the king would like to honor than me? Meaning himself. So he answered the king, okay, for the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn and a horse the king has ridden. One with a royal crest placed in its head. Then let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor. Lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Again, the man is thinking that this is being done for himself. So he went to the zenith. He went like this. Do it like this for me.
As soon as he was done talking, verse 10, go at once, the king commanded Haman. Get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai. Hallelujah! And he said to him, do not neglect anything you have recommended. Again, when it is for you, you want nice things. As soon as you realize it's for somebody else, you start reducing. He said, no, don't change anything you have said. Do it exactly the way you have said. Look, anybody fighting you, because you are serving God, because Mordecai is being fought here, but all Mordecai did was to do what is right. Because you are serving God, I decree today, whoever digs a pit, that you should fall in that pit. He himself will fall in the pit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Take your seat in the house of God. Verse 11. So Haman got the robe and the horse. He robed Mordecai, led him on a horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done to the man the king delights to honor. Put your hands together for Jesus. Anyone fighting you will experience a big disappointment in the name of Jesus. As the glory of serving God. If a king can do this, how much more the King of Kings? What else are we learning? You see, Mordecai did this wonderful thing and nothing was done for him. But if you read, the Bible says, do this to Mordecai, Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. So Mordecai continued serving, even though nothing was done for the good he had done. Mordecai did not murmur. We learned last week, don't complain. Don't argue. Don't compete. Haman is busy competing with Mordecai. And if you continue reading, he is the one who got impaled. You see that pole he prepared for Mordecai? He ended up being impaled. This is Annas that went inside that thing. As wonderful as what Mordecai did was, nothing was done for him. But he didn't complain. He didn't go around saying, you know what, after all I've done, nobody has done anything for me. Usually, when it is not done in return, just relax. God is preparing it for the right time. The right time. Imagine if God had already done something for Mordecai. I mean, or if the king had done something. When the king was anything that they were going to say, yes, and that was going to be it. So Haman was going to come with this death sentence. And everything was going to go accordingly. Listen, when God hasn't rewarded you, just relax and wait, because God had the right time to bring the reward your way. The Bible says in the book of Galatians 6 verse 9, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. If we don't give up. Many people start doing the right thing, but because they don't see the reward immediately, they give up. Yeah, they start winning souls, but because they don't see the reward immediately, they give up. They start doing visitations, they start helping, they start serving, but because they don't see the rewards immediately, they give up. But Mordecai continued coming at the king's gate. Even though the reward had not yet showed up, God was preparing the reward for the right time. And what a good timing this was to release the reward. God didn't only spare his servant, God also punished his attacker. In one stroke, God delivered his servant, but in the same stroke, God embarrassed and punished the person who wanted to offend him. Isaiah 54 verse 17, no weapon forged against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. Now listen to this second part that many of you don't know. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So this verse is not for everybody. If you are not a servant of the Lord, every weapon formed against you will prosper.
I shouldn't say it in the church.
The Bible says no weapon formed against you will prevail. You will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So if you are not a servant of the Lord, the weapons will work bad. They will work properly. They will work. Mordecai will end up impaled in that pole. If Mordecai is not serving the king, that's why many believers find themselves exactly where the devil wants them to be. Because they are not serving God. There's nothing God has to defend them with. You are learning something this morning. Serving God is your defense. Serving God is your protection. When you start serving God, God starts fighting for you. Look at the last part. He says, this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. So God is the one who vindicates his servants. Didn't God vindicate Mordecai? Today's message, quickly. It is not useless to serve God. Help me tell the person next to you, it is not useless to serve God, my friend. It is not useless. It is not useless. Please take your seat in the presence of God. We are left with 15 minutes. Malachi 3 verse 14. Listen. It says, you have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit it is that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts. You see, Malachi is wild though. He's telling people what they have done and what they have said. So that you have robbed God. And it's, where have we robbed God? Now he's telling them, you have also said, it is useless to serve God. It is useless. And I'm discovering more and more that this is the reason why a lot of believers don't serve God. Because they actually believe it is useless. They believe it is useless. There's no use in serving God. We will get nothing if we serve God. It is useless to serve God. You know, that's why, because it is useless to serve God, that's why we choose to serve money. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So if they place God and money before you, I mean, let's be honest. Who will you serve? Will you not say in your heart, it is useless to serve God? At least if I serve money, I will pay my bills. If I serve money, I will pay my school fees. If I serve money, I will have the car. If I serve money, I will get married. I'll get married. You will feel that it is rather useful to serve money and it is useless to serve God. Pastor, I can't do that. That's what you are doing every day. That's what we are doing every day. We go for the money. If you put God here, it says you cannot serve God and money. Because the greatest competition God has on earth is not the devil. The greatest competition God has on earth is not Lucifer. God's greatest competitor is Mammon, the god of money. It's a spirit that is contending against God direct, face to face. And many people feel it is useless to serve God. Why do you think Joshua had to tell people that if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve? Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living,
But as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. In Joshua 24 verse 15. Why do you think he's saying this? Because he could see that these people are struggling to decide who they're going to serve.
And one of the reasons they are struggling to decide to serve God is because they think it is useless to serve God. What am I going to get if I'm serving God actually? I mean, what am I going to get at the end of the day?
Others have chosen to serve big projects out there to help build Egypt rather than to help build the tabernacle of the Lord. Why? Because it is useless to spend my day in the desert building the tabernacle. I'd rather go to Egypt and help build the pyramids.
Exodus 1 verse 11. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor.
You see, if it was today's language, I was going to say they put hard bosses, hard managers to oppress them with long hours of work.
Say to me I'm lying if this is not what is happening to us.
Huh?
If this is not what is happening to you, that they have put a tax master above you to make you work forced labor.
What is forced labor? The thing has gone beyond the time. Oh, this is the time I'm supposed to go home, but I'm still working. I'm home, but I'm still working. I'm on holiday, but I'm still working.
And they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh.
Yeah. All you are doing, you are helping to build Pharaoh's kingdom.
Why? Because you feel it is useless to build the kingdom of God.
At least when I'm building Pharaoh's kingdom, I can see something going up.
I mean, by the kingdom of God, I don't see anything going up.
And some of you are just undecided. Like the people of Israel here. 1 Kings 18:21. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions?
If the Lord is God, follow him. Serve him.
And if Baal is God, follow him. Or serve him.
Watch. The people said nothing.
The people said nothing because truly they were confused.
And many believers today are also confused. They cannot really fully give themselves to serving God.
Because a part of them feels it's useless.
These words in Malachi did not come from unbelievers. They came from the people of God.
Those are the very same people that were stealing God in tithes and offering. Because first of all, they were feeling that it is useless to serve this God.
Then it is also useless to give him our money.
What is your view when it comes to serving God?
Do you really think it is something important that you should do?
Don't be quick to say yes. Because your actions, your daily actions, seem to say something totally different.
You know, you need to think about it and ask yourself, how do I view serving God?
I don't want to lie to you. For a long time, I never saw serving God as something, honestly, that was benefiting me in any way.
I saw it as something that just takes away your time, takes away your money, and you are even doing it for people that will never even say thank you.
Like, I didn't see it as something useful.
Yeah.
Remember the title of my message this morning is, so it is not useless to serve God.
It is not useless.
The truth is, Satan himself knows that serving God is very, very useful.
Like, he is aware that certain things come to a person just because they are serving God.
You will remember his conversation with God, and God told him, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the world. God went ahead and described how powerful Job was.
Listen to Satan's response to God. Verse 9. Does Job fear God for nothing? In other words, does Job serve God? Because God said Job is my servant. So does Job serve God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put an edge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, my God, so that his flocks and his herd are spread out through the country. This is Satan's report back. He's telling God that, do you think this guy is serving you like this for nothing? He's serving you because this is what you are doing for him. You are doing these things for him. That is why he's also serving you. Now, it is true that Satan was accusing Job here by implying that if God does not do these things, he will not serve God. But in the same token, it's also clear that he's telling God that as a result of this guy serving you, these are the things that you have been doing for the guy. And this is something that is coming from Satan himself. The accusation here was not that, no, actually, he's not serving you because you're not doing anything for him. The accusation was that the reason he's doing all these things, this serving, is because you've been doing all these things for him. So if you stop blessing him, he will also stop serving you. That was the accusation. But Satan was not discarding the reality that this guy is blessed because he is serving God. This guy is protected because he is serving God. This guy is increasing because he is serving God. That is a testimony from the mouth of the devil. When Jesus came, he confirmed the same reality. He confirmed it with his own life first. Jesus came to teach man how to live on earth. That's the only reason why Jesus came here. Jesus was not missing earth. It wasn't that maybe Jesus was bored in heaven. No. The only reason Jesus came was to help man understand who he was created to be. Are you listening to me? So Jesus came to reflect the perfect man. Like a perfect man lives like this. A perfect man behaves like this. A perfect man relates with God like this. A perfect man has dominion over snakes. A perfect man has dominion over demons. A perfect man has control over resources. A perfect man hears God and God speaks to him. Like he came to show us how a perfect man should live. And here is the perfect man. He started with a secular job as a carpenter. To show you that you should work, you should do something, you should be useful to your environment. But when he turned 30, he said, I now need to focus on the actual reason why I came here. He put away carpentry and focused fully on ministry. That's the perfect man. The perfect man cannot remain a carpenter till he dies. You must start as a carpenter, but you must end up as a minister. You can start as a teacher, but you must end up as a minister. You can start as a farmer, but you must end up as a minister. You can start as a manager, but you must end up as a minister. If you haven't entered ministry, you haven't lived as a perfect man. Talk to me of secular job. Jesus was a carpenter. People even knew him. Like when he started preaching, they were even confused. They said, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Because that's how they knew him. But he didn't allow them to only know him that way. Some of you want people to die only knowing you as a teacher. People must die. You must die. And the only thing people can say about you is that, no, he was a good taxi driver. No, he was a good police officer. The perfect man started with a secular job, but he ended up with a sacred job. And that is where each and every one of you is going by the grace of God. You cannot end your life only serving money. I say you cannot end your life serving money. At some stage in your life, you have to serve God. You have to serve the living God. So his own life confirmed that it is a blessing to serve God. God elevated him. God gave him the name that is high above every other name. That even today when you mention his name, things start happening all over the place. Do you think this thing happened because he's a carpenter? I'm asking you, do you think that God elevated Jesus because Jesus was the greatest carpenter? He knew how to make coffins. The elevation came as a result of his faithfulness in ministry, not in carpentry. Are you still here? So Matthew 19 verse 27. Then Peter said to Jesus, "We've given up everything to follow you. What will we get?" I love Peter. Straightforward. No jigga asking a lot of, No. Straightforward. Tell your neighbor, when you want to ask the question, ask the question straightforward. Ask the question. Yeah. Believers like jigga-jiggaing things. You want to ask the lady to marry you. You start asking, hey, where are you from? What is the name of your father? How is your mother? Go straight to your question. Ask the question. Are you single? Do you have a beloved? Ask the question straight. Are you here? So Peter asked a straightforward question. And everybody heard him. Because this is not Peter writing here. It's Matthew writing something Peter asked. Do you understand? But I want to pick the answer of Jesus rather in the book of Mark. Because there Mark captured it better. Mark 10:29. Jesus speaks, says, "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or father or children or fields for me and for the gospel." You see, there's a difference between Jesus and the gospel. There are things you are leaving simply because you are attending church. You haven't left them because of Jesus. That's why when you stop attending that church, you return to those things. You need to understand that Jesus is Jesus. The gospel is the gospel. Meaning the ministry, the church, and all of that. A lot of things will be left simply because of Jesus. But beyond that, when you start now working for the gospel, you will also now see how many other things must be left. For example, I can accept Jesus, but I don't leave my father, but I don't leave my mother. In other words, I'm a Christian, but I'm still in the house. I'm doing everything in the house. But when I start now going towards the gospel, all of a sudden, you will now see that I do not have enough time anymore to be with daddy, with mommy, with my cousins. I start being more with people that are outside the house. So because of the gospel, I have lost my father. I have lost this person. I have lost this other person. But because of Jesus, I have lost my sin. Because of Jesus, I have lost this bad habit. Because of Jesus, I have lost a lot of things because of Jesus. That's why when you come and hide in the church, you haven't encountered Jesus. You are just pretending that you have left smoking because of the gospel. You have left this because of the gospel. As soon as you change the area, or as soon as you are no more coming to church, you see how those things return. Somebody is being blessed here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said, because of me and the gospel, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Say with me, this present age. So there are things God, Jesus says. Look, he started by saying, truly I tell you. Jesus is not a liar. He's telling you, if you have truly left something because of him, not because you're afraid to be caught. Not because you are trying to win somebody, then you are leaving this thing for the people. But are you where you are because of Jesus and because of the gospel? Or because of your own disobedience? When it is because of Jesus and because of the gospel, then this promise is 100% guaranteed. You will get 100 times more in this present age. This is what you're going to get. Homes. Say with me, I receive. This is going to get homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. You must receive the persecution as well. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he says, and in the age to come, say with me, in the age to come, eternal life. Kola mashanta na makonda na mandaraba. Are you here?
Oh, yes.
Tell me of any job on earth that promises you things in this present age. And then it also goes and promises you things in the age to come. Many times you are still here. The thing has withdrawn everything it had given you. It has cleared everything. You are still here. It has taken everything it gave you. So there are two. I want to remind you. It is not useless to serve God. It is not useless to serve God. I want to remind you of that. That you should choose to serve God with your life. Because it is not useless to serve God. Help me tell 5 people, it is not useless to serve God. It is not useless. It is not useless. It is not useless. It is not useless. I want you to type on the comment section, it is not useless to serve God. It is not useless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus gives us 2 types of benefits. Remember the Bible says that bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not his benefits. There are 2 categories of benefits for a servant of God. Category number 1, things you get in this present age. That's the category number 1. Job 36 verse 11. If they obey and serve me, they shall spend their days in prosperity, and their years in pleasures. If they obey and serve me. Many servants are disobedient. That's why they don't spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. They are serving God, but in disobedience. That's why it starts with, if they obey and serve me. Don't serve God on your terms. Don't serve God the way you like. Be attentive to the voice of your God. Do what he tells you, not what you feel like. This is where our problem starts. So no, I've been serving God for many years now. No. You see, first of all, have you left things because of Jesus? Have you left anything because of the gospel? People are coming to church. They have come with everything. They say, no. This thing will also get converted. We are all here. The Bible is clear. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelief. No. This unbeliever will be converted. I've also brought him. Pastor, lay hands on him. If they obey, it's the circumcision of your heart. If they obey and serve. Many people are serving with disobedient hearts. You can't even tell them to change something. You're going to have a problem just now. You can't. They sing what they want to sing. They preach what they want to preach. They'll go where they want to go. You say to them, go do 1, 2, 3. They go and do 6, 7, 8. But then it all looks like they are serving. There's a particular group that even came to Jesus and said, no, we did this in your name. We did this in your name. He said, I don't know you guys at all. You were not obedient. Receive grace for obedience in the name of Jesus. Every seed of disobedience in your soul, may God deliver you from it right now. Anything that looks like disobedience in your heart, disloyalty, may God say to come and open your mouth and start praying for your heart, that God may save you from disobedience. That God may deliver you from disobedience. Take away the seed of rebellion, Lord. Take away the seed of rebellion, the seed of disloyalty from my heart. Independent spirit and the spirit of offense. Set me free from these forces, Lord. They are destroying my good work. They are destroying my service of God and for God. In Jesus' precious name we have given thanks. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. He says, if you serve me, if you obey him and you serve him, this is his guarantee. You will spend your days in prosperity. My God. You know, I have observed around, I see every true servant of God, they usually start very poor. But I tell you, as they continue obeying and serving faithfully, preaching what God asks them to preach, going where God asks them to go, forgiving people that are fighting them. In this era where I am, people have said all kinds of evil things against me. People have written things against me, but I'm still serving God. You see, at the end of the day, the person usually rises up like a helicopter. That's what's going to happen to you. There's prosperity for God's servants. Pleasures for God's servants. It is not useless to serve God. You are being deceived. Exodus 23 verse 25. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. As a result of serving. As you are serving, he is blessing. 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 So you will serve the Lord your God. He will bless. The work of your hands. He will bless your bread. Do you know that some people are eating the bread of sorrow? The bread of sorrow. Here, you will eat the bread of blessing. And when you are eating it, you feel nice about what you are eating. The bread of sorrow, you are trying to eat, you are falling asleep. You are so tired. The bread of sorrow. The bread of sorrow. There's a sister that told my father in the ministry that she cannot sleep with her husband. He is the bread of sorrow. She told my father in the ministry that before she can sleep with her husband, she must drink and be drunk first. If she's not drunk, she can't stand him. The bread of sorrow. The things you are chasing, the car become a car of sorrow. You even become afraid of your car. That you become afraid of the car yourself. When you look at the car, you are afraid. You are afraid because you don't know what is coming next. It's the car of sorrow. Children of sorrow. Anything can be a thing of sorrow. Unless the Lord blesses that thing. I'm telling you, the thing will be sorrowful. You will have bread, but it's the bread of sorrow. You will have a husband, it's a husband of sorrow. You must get drunk before you can kiss him. You must be drunk and say, okay. Mercy. A car of sorrow. When you are putting folate like you are doing blood transfusion from you, the thing is drinking blood like alcohol. It's drinking folate like alcohol. It's the car of sorrow, the car of sorrow, the car of sorrow. May you be delivered from any form of sorrow in the name of Jesus. Any form of sorrow. May it come out of you. And that thing is cleared by the blessing of the Lord. As you serve God, God start blessing. God start blessing. God start blessing your life. God start blessing your life. Start blessing your life. You will be amazed that you don't earn as much, but you have so much. You don't have so much knowledge, but you have so much resources. Why? Because God has blessed you. And why did God bless you? You are serving Him. You are serving Him. Listen to me, church. All of you that are not serving God, you are making a big mistake. You are cheating yourself. Because even Satan knows that when you serve God, you will be blessed. He knows it. That's why he's keeping you busy with mammon. But you are being delivered this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. So he will take away sickness from the midst of you. The most favorite one that we all love, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added. They shall be added. Hallelujah. So men, see now, beyond the things of this present, I can go on and on. There are so many verses. But beyond those ones, there's also things of the age to come. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8. We are closing. I have fought the good fight. May you say that one day.
Amen.
I have finished the race.
Amen.
I have kept the faith. These are the type of words of a true soldier of Jesus. I have fought the good fight. I wasn't fighting church fights. Fight for positions. Fight for offense. Fight for who is more beautiful than who. Fight for who is going to take sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. Those are the type of fight Christians are busy fighting. Now I fought the fight for the souls of men. I fought for people to be saved. I fought for people to be established. I fought for people to be delivered from the kingdom of darkness. I fought to live a life of integrity. I fought to live a life of purity. I fought to pay my tithe. I fought to attend church. A good fight. I fought to forgive people. It's a good fight. You are fighting to not be offended. You are fighting to not be bitter. It's a very good fight you are fighting. I'm telling you, it's a very good fight. It's I fought a good fight. I have finished the race. Ah, the Bible says that the end of a matter is better than the beginning. Many people started the race of faith, but they drop along the way. They drop along the way. Many of your disciples started a year with you. They have dropped along the way. I have finished the race. We must find that our people must finish the race. Not just start the race. If you read this, it doesn't say I started the race. It says I finished the race. May you finish your race. It says I kept the faith. I died as a believer. I died as a Christian. A fervent one. Now he says, now. There is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Say with me, the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. The crown of righteousness. I don't think you're going to receive the crown of righteousness because you're working for Coca-Cola. Are you not aware that, you know, God is all going, oh no, you work for Coca-Cola for 25 years. Come and receive the crown of righteousness. I challenge you today, go from carpentry to ministry. The crown of righteousness. Revelation 22 verse 12. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to each person according to what they have done. There is a reward. He says, my reward is with me. And I will give to each person according to what they have said. According to what they have imagined. According to what they have taught. One action is better than 1,000 intentions. This is the greatest of them all. John 14:2-3. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. Would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go, I will prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. This is the greatest reward, the reward of his presence. Where he is, you are there. I'm not here to say that this reward is because we're a servant of God. This is just by accepting Jesus Christ. But you see, when you really accept Jesus Christ, it says to you that deny yourself, take your cross, follow me, meaning start serving me. The natural response of a believer is service, becoming a fisher of men. That is a proof you are really following Jesus. That's what it is. Not how many cars you have in your yard. How many fish have you caught? Listen, now follow me. I will teach you how to catch cars. I teach you how to earn big bucks. Those things are great only if they are helping you catch fish. That's the only purpose. That's what Paul advised to us this morning as we close is in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Stand firm. Don't let Satan deceive you. It's useless to serve God. You know you were serving God the whole of last year. What happened? Stand firm. And a lot of you, daddy has already removed the tools from your hands. He took away the cipher and the plow. You are now empty-handed. Stand firm. Go for your tool. Go get your tools back. Go get your tools back. Get your tools back. He said, stand firm. Let nothing move you. I'm reading. He said, let nothing move you. Don't be moved by poverty. Don't be moved by lack. Don't be moved by offense. That's the greatest mover of people in churches. Offense. Use the tool of forgiveness. Use the blood of Jesus. And fight these things. But stand firm. Let nothing move you. His advice number 3. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Always give yourself half-heartedly. A little bit. Or only on Tuesday. A little bit on Friday. Small on Sunday. Always give yourself fully. Give yourself fully to the work of God. Now I ask you a question. If you are giving yourself fully to the work of God, what is left for the devil? Do you see why? People are serving the devil because they are not fully giving themselves to God. So there's a lot Satan has to work with. And before you realize, they are fully for the devil. He said, give yourself fully for the work of God. Now, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. It's going to bring results. Stand on your feet, everybody. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabba Shantene Mandereba. Can you start thanking him right now? Can you start thanking him right now that he's restoring your strength? He's restoring your strength. Those of you that were about to give up, those of you that were already being moved by this and by that, come and open your mouth and say, Lord, I am ready to serve again. 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 Contene maselema. Oh, ragadabaga. Father, anoint me afresh this morning. Anoint me afresh this morning. Take away the burden. Take away the discouragement. Take away the fear. Anoint me afresh, Lord. I see how good it is to serve you. I see how beautiful it is to serve you. You say you shall bless me as I serve you. As I leave things, I will get them back. Konama shantenema. Raise your voice, church. Oh, yebelegado bregade balagada bagada baraba. Endesegede balokatere falandere balagoda bagade. Irefele cantoro mosebre cantora falandere bade. Mantoro folo cantere masibre cantoro folo dale. Ragadevele cantoro folo catere falade. The Holy Ghost is ministering strength. Strength, strength, back to your soul, back to your soul. He is refreshing you again. He is refreshing you again. He is taking away the pain. He is taking away the sorrow. He is taking away the lies and the deceptions of the devil. You shall serve the Lord. He shall bless your bread and your water. He shall take away sickness from the midst of us. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. We will serve faithfully. We will give ourselves. Come on, give yourself. Give yourself fully. Give yourself wholeheartedly. Give yourself wholly. Holy. Holy. Shagadega sogodega dabada. I am a servant of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I am not ashamed to proclaim the gospel to the poor, to the needy. Somebody help me pray. Somebody help me pray. Ishagadeba goda berebe. Enderebele gadorebele gaderebe. Sandere makoda magedeba lagadabada. You are receiving a fresh anointing. You are receiving a fresh anointing. The Lord is delivering you from the deceptions of the devil. Shada gede ba sobre gade bedebe. Oh, male male gada bagada 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 bada. You are blessed right now. Oh, he's blessing you right now. Oh, he's helping you right now. 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 He's healing you right now. He's restoring you right now. He's anointing you right now. Entema tova, ashekatema, asobalea, echemanea, atomalea, masulamea, enchelemanamo, enchelemanamo, enchelemanamo. Ay, 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 ay. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I give you thanks. I give you praise. 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 I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I'd rather be just a doorkeeper. That's how bad I want it. That's how bad I want it. Oh, yeah.
the Lord Jesus says, I've gone to heaven to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you should also be. If not for anything, just so that you can be with him in heaven. Even though the journey starts right here on earth, but the logical conclusion of that journey is an eternity with God in heaven. My dear brother, God led you to listen and to watch this today for a reason. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want to lead you in a prayer that will help you not just to see the kingdom of God according to John 3 verse 3, but John 3 verse 5 says to enter the kingdom of God. I want you to enter, not just see it, but enter. And we enter by being born again. Pastor, how do I get born again? Well, you just need to pray this prayer with me. First of all, you need to recognize that you are a sinner, and that if you were to die in your current state, you will go to hell. Number two, you need to realize that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Apart from him, there's no other way. Number three, you have to confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you are saved. That's the word of God. We're going to pray together. Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I'm going to count up to three and you can raise your right hand. One, two, three. Your hand up. God bless you. You're saying, Pastor, I want to be born again. God bless you. Now, those of you that are watching and that are listening, you want to recommit your life to God. You were serving. You were so passionate. But something moved you. A boyfriend came. Something happened. An offense happened. A job came and it moved you. Today you are just a shadow of yourself, a cocoon of what you used to be. God wants you back. Say, God wants you back. Wants you to give yourself fully again. That anything else is secondary. God is not secondary. Anything else is secondary. Serving God is not secondary. Everything else is secondary to serving God. Pastor, I want to recommit myself. I've lost it. I've lost my love for him. I'm doing things out of duty, no more out of love. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. If that is you, I want to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray together. And I want you to repeat these words from the depths of your heart, because this is an encounter for somebody right now. The presence of God is here. And God is reaching to you right now. I'm talking about you. You're watching me right now. God is talking to you. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again. That I might be justified. That I might become your servant. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. My past is forgotten. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for serving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.